how I fight my battles. There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body, your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. Driven by kings, you cover the mountains of valleys below with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside of your hand, and in this forge in the eternal.
Yeah.
surrender to you, God. There is nothing that I won't surrender to you, God. Take me over, take it all from me, take me over. Take me over, take it all from me, take me over. There is nothing I won't surrender to you, God. There is nothing I won't surrender to you, God. Take me over, take it all from me, take me over.
though the music changes, the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes, the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. And though the seasons change, your love remains. Though the seasons change, Lord, you've been faithful, plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Through the
when you come, I fall apart like a building. When you come, but if you come, I sink like a stone. Or if you come, and when you come, I fall apart like a building. Or if you come, when you come, I sink like a stone. Or if you come, and when you come, I fall apart like a building. But if you come, when you come, I sink just like a stone. Or if you come, and when you come, I fall apart just like a building. Or if you come, and when you come, I sink just like a stone.
Jesus, the only one. Thank you, Lord. We place our trust in you. Lord, we place our trust in you. We call out your name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, save our land. Heal our hearts. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We bring our brokenness. We bring our grief. We bring our hardships, Lord, and we lay them at your feet. For you're the only one that can make the changes that are needed. You're the only one, Lord, that can bring us through these challenges in this world today. Father, open up hearts. Open up eyes, Lord. Let them see what's going on, Lord, so that they can have change. Change from you. Love from you that will flow through them. Oh, Lord, we're broken. We're broken today. But, Lord, we worship you. We lift up your name because your name is above all other names. Lord, for the seeds that have been planted in this community, Lord, let it rain on them and let them grow, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord would say unto his people this day, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, be faith-filled, be love-filled, be spirit-led, says the Lord. For I am with you. I will not forsake you. I am with you, I will not forsake you. I'm the glory and the lifter of your head in difficult times and challenges and circumstances. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in my work, says the Lord. Always abounding in my work. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never die. I will fulfill my word, says the Lord. I will fulfill my word. Be steadfast, immovable, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's nothing for me. I will go before you. tear down your burdens is nothing for me, and I will go before you, and I will go behind you. To tear down your burdens is nothing for me, for I will go before you, and I will follow you.
Spirit in the land today that seeks to tire you out, to weary you, and seeks to squeeze everything that you've built up in your spirit. It seeks to squeeze it out of you. Nobody really knows what we're up against. You scroll your phones and you look, and there are names that are tossed and conspiracy theories that are abundant. And, you know, just a few weeks ago, it was the COVID virus. Now the COVID virus is not in the back seats, in the trunk. People are not paying attention to it as much as they were, because the terrible tide of hate-filled prejudice and racism that I thought one season in my life, I thought, you know what, we're gonna get beyond all this, and God, you're just doing an incredible work. And all of a sudden the enemy pulls that card again. Racism, prejudice, it even existed when in the early church they begin to enjoy the blessing of God, the favor of God. And then the devil just said, you know, let me just put something in there that will give the feelings that I'm being overlooked. Someone is being favored over me. That's really how we got leaders. That's how we got deacons. Choose you 7 men of good report. Turn this ministry over to them so that you can stay on your face and get into the Word and hear the Word of the Lord. Because there was a complaining among the widows. You're looking out for some of them, but you're not looking out for all of them. See? That was prejudice. Prejudice is so ugly. But you know what I've discovered? Even in this past week, I did a little test. I thought I'm going to do an experiment. And you can be seated if you like. I did a little experiment. And this is not an issue for me. It's not a problem for me, because I've learned to live my life intentional. Come on, look at your neighbor and say intentional. I'm intentional about my behavior. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, when I go into a grocery store and I look at the cashiers, what's the goal when you're in the grocery store? To get out as fast as possible, right? Spend as less money as you possibly can. Well, good luck right now if you're buying a hamburger, okay? So I behave myself intentionally, and I scan the cashiers. And I find the one who's not like me. And people, I don't, Pastor Joy and I rarely shop in Ahoskie because it's just more complicated for us than you can imagine. We can't go in a store and get out in a few minutes. If I go in a store in a Husky, I'll be home 2 hours later, praying up and down every aisle and all that. You know, hey, Pastor. It's hard for me to go to a store in a Husky. So I buy my groceries in Edenton where nobody knows me. I just walk in, get my groceries, and get out. Who's the big white guy? I don't know who he is. You say, well, you're from there. Yeah, but I left in 1979. Nobody knows me over there. But I'm intentional in the grocery store. I'm so glad the online audience is with us so you can hear this. I behave this way. I look at the cashiers and I try to find the one who's not like me. Because every time I get in the line of a cashier who's not like me, then God affords me an opportunity to experience a culture that's not like mine. I choose a black woman, Hispanic woman, Asian woman, whoever's not like me. And I pray every time I'm checking out. And people will say, hey, if I'm here in a hospital, Pastor, I'll take you right down here in the shorter line. I said, no, I'm good. Well, why in the world would you stand in a line that's long when you could stand in a line that's short? Because my life is not about buying groceries. My life is about loving people. And so I get in the line of the person who's not like me. How many of y'all remember O'Connor's? Come on. L-shaped building. You walk in the door. I used to eat there all the time. Walk in the door. If you're black, you go right. If you're white, you go left. Guess where I go? I go right. Okay. I get in the mix. Did I say it backwards? Okay. Keep me straight, Joel. I go the other way because I want to sit down among you who are not like me. Okay. Someone called me on the phone this week and put pressure on me. What are you going to do? So what are you talking about? What are you going to do this week? You're a white preacher in a majority black community. What are you going to do? I said, what are you talking about? Aren't you going to hold something? Aren't you going to have a meeting? Or I said, I'm going to do the same thing I do every day of my life. Same thing I've been doing every day of my life. I get up and I go about my business and I love everybody. If you're looking for a rally from me, I don't have it. Okay? What I have is a steady walk of unconditional love through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. That's what I have. It's what I have to offer to my dearly beloved African American believers. I'm deeply saddened. My heart aches for you. I'm deeply saddened to watch what we've all watched and to think that there was hope that we wouldn't see stuff like this. And I'm not so sure a march in the street will change anything. Pastor Joy said it well. The only thing that can change it is the blood-stained banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can change it. I don't know what you were thinking this morning, but I was listening as Pastor Josh selected songs, and I thought, wow, though the seasons change, your love remains. Though we're in a season right now that is very, very hurtful and difficult, there's one thing you can count on, and that is His love, and it remains. And I'm thankful for that. So thankful for that. And because of that, I will build my life upon your love, Lord, because you are the only firm foundation that there is. Amen. You're the only foundation. Every day that I get up, I ask the Lord to lead my steps and guide my steps. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Okay? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the ones who will get in a grocery store line of someone who's not like them. I just want to be a person of peace. So I did a little experiment, and I stepped up my game. I stepped it up a notch this week. And because I wanted to do a test. And everywhere I went, post office, grocery store, everywhere I went, I started positioning myself in front of folks who were not like me. And I would say, hey, let me get that door for you. And I'd open the door. Well, thank you, sir. Well, thank you. Have a great day. Good to see you, man. God bless you. And you know what I've discovered? I didn't run into angry black people. I didn't. I ran into kind black people, loving black people, spirit-led black people. Because you know what? Behind the scenes, there are demonic forces that are fueling this earth, fueling this nation, fueling it with hatred. Anytime you purchase bricks and have them delivered somewhere so that someone will have something to throw, you're moved by the devil. I'm sorry. People did that. They purchased a pallet of bricks and have them dropped off somewhere so you'd have something to throw, so you could help destroy a nation who's just now opening the doors to business from COVID-19. Certainly doesn't need to be destroyed by bricks. But there's demonic forces behind the scenes that are catching a nation very weary, very torn, and trying to throw fuel on the fire and destroy this country. The ones who spend their money, and on everything that we spend, it has a little phrase that says, in God we trust. It's heart-wrenching. It's hurtful. It's painful. But I choose to believe that there's a remnant of people who will keep their eyes on the Lord and trust in the Lord and believe Him for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before. I trust Him for a people who will call upon the name of the Lord, who said, if my people would humble themselves, the ones who are called by my name, and they'll just turn from their sin, their wickedness, and I will hear them, and I'll forgive them, and I'll heal their land. You're an Assemblies of God church. We had the tremendous honor to host George Floyd's funeral this week on the campus of Northwest Assemblies of God University, a facility in Minneapolis that would hold that gathering. Some of our constituents were called upon to speak and to share. I thought, Lord, that's amazing. What an honor that the Assemblies of God were called upon to host George's funeral. And so I would ask you to pray for Minneapolis. I have friends there. Pastor Joy and I have friends there who are leading churches there. And it's horrible for them. It's horrible for them. It's horrible for all of us, but it's horrible for them. They blessed us. They took their kids. They took their kids, little kids, like my grandkids here. They took them to the site where George laid on the street. And they had them kneel down in honor of George Floyd and lay a little flower there on the sidewalk. Those acts are seen by the Father, and they're appreciated by people everywhere. I'll build my life upon your love. Help me to love. Beloved, love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. And he that loveth not does not know God, for God is love. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to get this thing right. I speak blessing and peace and favor and revival over your church in this region. Lord, Pastor Joy said it well. We've done so much. We've planted the seeds of righteousness and godliness and peace and love in this community. Lord, I just pray that you'd place a hedge of protection around about the Roanoke-Chowan area, Lord. Let that hedge of protection spread around, Lord, throughout North Carolina and throughout the nation. Call upon your church, God, to stand up for righteousness' sake, to admit when we're wrong, to repent of deep-rooted hatreds, Lord, that cannot be held on to by people of faith. Do your work, O God. Break down the walls that divide us. Do your work. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Do your work, God. Do your work in each little passing day. Help us to be a contributor to a life of peace. A kind word, an open door, a helping hand. Help us, Lord, to love like you want us to love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Come on, could you sing that one more time? I'll build my life. Come on, stand to your feet. You know what? You know what needs to happen? There just needs to be a spirit of revival. It's already been released in this house this morning. It's already been released in this house. Why don't you just lift your hands and love him as we worship one more time? I'll build my life upon your love. Why? Because it is a firm foundation. And I will build upon it and build upon it each and every passing day. I'll build upon it. Hallelujah. Sing it. Sing it. Build my life upon your love because it's a firm foundation. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm going to switch up the order a little bit. We'll hold our kids' message until the end. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord today. Hallelujah. I need water. Amen. I need water. The message that I want to drop into your spirit today. Travel with me in your mind's eye to just a few weeks ago when some of you ladies were shopping the nurseries and going to the plant section and going specifically to your little faithful guy that you went to for so many years because you always got your mater plants from him. Amen. The time when you make your trek to that place, and many of you have done it already, and now you're enjoying the fruits. Some of you who were early, you picked out the plants, you got in the pots, the potting soil, and all that goes along with it. Then you made your way home, and you transferred the soil, and you set the plants, and you cleaned your mess up, and you placed the potted plants all along the porch or on the patio or wherever it was you chose to place them. And day by day, you watch them grow. You watch them change. I just bought me a little asparagus fern just a few weeks ago because I love asparagus ferns. And I bought me one, and I've watched it triple in size in just a matter of about 3 weeks. You watch those plants, you watch them day by day. They grow, they mature, they develop, and you're so excited as you finally see the buds begin to pop out there and form and the blooms break forth, and finally the fruits of your labor, your nurture and your care are all experienced. You love your plants. You're faithful to water. You're faithful to pull a sprig of grass out that tries to invade. You're faithful to add a little fertilizer or a little Miracle-Gro if you're trying to outdo your neighbor and have the first tomato come on. Things are going well, but then as fate would have it, sometimes you get slack. You pass it by one day, two, now three. Next thing you know, it's four and five. And meanwhile, the sun beams, and it's June and July, and the sun beams, and it parches your little plant. Your beautiful plant begins to wither, and no one has really noticed it. And now what looked so beautiful at one time just a few days ago, has taken on a new fate. It has impending death written all over it. Your plants are shouting loudly, I need water! I need water! Your wife, who wanted them all to start with, says this to you, are you going to let my plants die? Amen. How many of you husbands have experienced that? You're going to let my mums die? You going to let my Gerber daisies die? They say those things to you. So you jump to the task. You pull off the dead, clip here, snip there, a lot of water. You get back to where you were, nurture water, hoping that God will somehow help you to revive that plant. Sound familiar? Well, can I just be honest with you? From the scriptures, it sounds familiar, not just in the plant kingdom, but in the church. Not just in the plant kingdom, but in the church. It's familiar to a church that Jesus talks about. It's the church called Sardis in the book of Revelation. He's going to tell them, strengthen the things that remain and are about to die. I don't know how many of you know anything about a peace lily. Anybody ever seen a peace lily? Did you know that a peace lily can look like it needs to be chunked, but if you'll just pour water on it, it'll make you not look like a fool. Come on. I mean, it'll come back. I just don't know how in the world. I've seen them flat as a pancake. Then all of a sudden you pour a little water on a peace lily and you're back in business and your spouse will give you peace. Amen. He says to this church, are you letting my plants die? Are you letting my creation die? They're calling out to you, I need water. The city of Sardis was located in the western portion of Asia Minor where all these churches were located. It's about 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, a church we've already visited. Sardis was a wealthy city located on a huge commercial trade route running east and west through a place called Lydia. And at one time, Sardis was even the capital of Lydia. As far as its wealth and where it got all its money from, it got all its money from the manufacturing, hear this, don't forget this, and the dye industry where the fabrics were changed in their color. And they were also known for handcrafted jewelry. Somebody said, thank God for cheap jewelry. Amen. Most of the city of Sardis practiced pagan worship, false gods. And they even had these little secret societies and little cultic groups. Sounds like America today, don't it? Historians and archaeologists have discovered the remains of a church there. If you look at it in history, from a historical perspective, they discovered the remains of a church in Sardis from the post-apostolic period, located right beside the Temple of Artemis, which testifies and gives indication that there was, in fact, as we know it from the scriptures, a witness for Christ there in the midst of a city that is widely majority known for paganism and loose living. And that church, history tells us, that church remained active until about the 1300s. The 1300s, hundreds of years ago. It was never really a strong church, never really a prominent church. And today there's a village there, and they call the village Sart, S-A-R-T. And there's no known witness. Think about this. If you look it up, you'll find it to be true. There's no known witness of Jesus Christ today in that region. Not a single one. Remember, which reminds us that what Jesus said to them, he said, listen, strengthen what remains and is about to die. Guess what happened? It died. Whatever warning Jesus gave should have been heeded. And you and I should hear this message. You need to make sure that you're taking care of your plants. You need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. I'm so concerned. My prayers are pointed toward people in this pandemic time and in this time that we're going through right now. There's so many people that are getting accustomed just to pulling out their phones and watching a little bit here and watching a little bit there and watching a little bit in the other church. And they'll even brag about it. I went to 15 churches today and never left the house. I found myself in a comical way saying that myself, but guess what? That's not a good thing. Because there's a tremendous amount of water, hear me, there's a tremendous amount of water that can be experienced by collective gathering, by coming. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sister Sharon just said to me a moment ago as I greeted her husband on the back row, it's so good to be in the house. Okay, because there's something that you get in the house that you're not going to get from in your hand, all right? And so while we're not back to normal yet, I don't know how long it'll be. We're social distancing. We're doing the best we can. Families are sitting together. We're skipping the rows, and we're doing what we can, and we're sanitizing, and we're using purification system in the house, and we're doing all the things that we can. But what you need to understand is you don't need to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because you know why? It is water unto your thirsty soul. So is worship, the time that we spend up on this platform laying the foundation. In fact, the foundation is laid now, so it's quite easy for me to preach. I just said, I don't want to mess this up because the foundation's there, so we'll take the children and we'll move their message to the very end, and we're going to do that today. Why? Because the foundation was there to go ahead and proclaim the Word of God because of worship that was water to our thirsty soul. I will build my life. Though the seasons change, all those words that come into your spirit that you start to pay attention to rather than just singing songs. Well, this church in Sardis evidently did not strengthen the things that remained. Let's look at what Jesus had to say to her. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write. Jesus is talking to John here. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God. Think about that. Got a text message just a couple of weeks ago. Can you help me with this? What in the world is the seven spirits of God? We'll get to it in a moment. and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, verse 2. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you've received, and remember what you've heard, and hold it fast, and make sure you're walking in repentance. Repent. But if you do not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I'll come to you. Yet, verse 4, I have a few people in Sardis. Doesn't say they're in the church. Have you ever noticed that? Doesn't say they were in that church. He just says pointedly, I've got a few folks in your city. Got a few folks in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They'll walk with me dressed in white, for they're worthy. The one who's victorious will like them be dressed in white, and I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge their name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Verse number 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him, and he says, I hold the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, the fact that you've got a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. He reminds us of his authority, as he typically does in these Revelation narratives. He's the one who holds us. In other words, Jesus is reminding the church that he is the God, he is God, and that they were supposed to be proclaiming, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the message you're supposed to be proclaiming in that church. And that Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we beheld him, John said, as his glory, as the only begotten of the Father, the one who was filled with grace and filled with truth. Beloved, if you're listening today online and you need the grace of God, the Bible says that he is filled with the grace. I know what the enemy's trying to tell you. Oh, but I don't know if he could forgive me or not. I've done so much. He's filled with grace. And he will forgive you. Oh, just type it in the bottom there. Fill out a visitor's card. We'll connect with you. We've been doing it every week. We've been connecting with people every week who've been hitting the comments below. I spent several hours this past week following up and connecting with people. In fact, I'm doing more follow-up now in a digital church than I did in the physical church. I'm having more responses. People who've made decisions, people who've acknowledged something in their life, people that I've counseled by Zoom or on the phone. It's been a busy time. Perhaps Jesus comes with this authoritative entry because his words to the church are primarily going to be words of rebuke. Nothing good to say. He doesn't have anything really to commend him for. He really has nothing good to say. You're letting your plants die. He says to them, you have a sign in the yard that says you're a church, but you're really not. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. There's nothing there. And the reason for that nothingness in this community and in that region, this capital of Lydia, was surrounded by the grossest forms of idolatry that you can imagine. I'll not mention from this pulpit because we are a blended gathering here with young and old alike. The grossest forms of idolatry were experienced in Sardis. And instead of the church impacting the culture, they flip it around and the culture impacts the church. They had all kinds of festivals and crazy behaviors going on in that community. If you remember, when Jesus usually begins to assess one of his churches in Asia Minor, he starts out with something good, and then he comes up with that phrase, remember it? Yet I hold this against you. Remember that one? But he doesn't do that. This time he just, hey, I'm going to write you a letter. Dear Sardis, you just act like you're alive, but you're dead. He just doesn't hold anything back. He goes for the jugular in the spiritual sense right out of the gate. Sometimes you just need to be told the truth. Come on. And that's what he does. The Lord's pretty cut and dry. He says, I'm the Christ who holds the church in my hand. You say you're alive, but you're dead in your trespasses and your sins. And he said, I'm also the one who has the seven spirits of God. What does that mean? Well, Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah prophetically spoke about this Christ who has the seven spirits of God. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 to 5, list those spirits for us. He says, I'm the spirit of the Lord. I'm the spirit of wisdom. I'm the spirit of understanding. I'm the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. In other words, there are seven of them. What does that mean to you and I? Seven is God's number of what? Completion. God says, I'm complete to be able to come to you and assess you. I'm assessing you based on the fullness of the knowledge of Father God. And you don't line up. He's describing himself essentially as the I am that I am. He's the whole package. He's complete. He's God. He's the essence of all of those attributes that are his and his alone. You can't have those attributes that God has that are incommunicable. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, some of them are communicable. Some of those attributes are communicable. As I stand here in this preaching spot, I remember last week taking you to Galatians and talking about those communicable attributes that you and I are fully welcome to and expected to walk in. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control, forbearance, right on down the line. You and I can have those attributes all we want. They're the fruit of what? The Spirit of God in our life. But, somebody say but. But there are attributes that you and I cannot have that belong to God. Oh, it would be nice to have them, but you can't have them. Why? Because you ain't God. And the ones that he has that we cannot have are really not a long list. There's only three. It's omniscience. That means he's what? All-knowing. I know some of us think we know everything, and you know folk who do think they know everything, but guess what? We don't know everything. Sometimes we don't know squat. Okay? That's an attribute that God has that we cannot have. It's omniscience. Then there's omnipotence. That means what? All-powerful. Potent. Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And yes, we are we have our power in the name of Jesus to be able to cast out demons and take authority over spirits like this demonic thing. I was riding down the street this morning and the Lord spoke to me and just simply in a way that I could understand. I said, Lord, what is all this? And he said, it's demonic. It's demonic. It's not us just arguing over differences like the color of our skin. There's demonic influence behind that that seeks to divide. See? Seeks to divide. Seeks to divide. Omnipotence. You can't have omnipotence. You can't have omniscience. And you can't have omnipresence. Wouldn't it be nice if you could be many places at one time? You know, what are you complaining about? You don't even go to the bank anymore, okay? What are you complaining? You don't go to the bank. You don't mail a check for your mortgage. If you're like me, you just pull it up and go click, click, double click on Apple Pay. It's over with, okay? You can be a lot of places at one time today because of the technology that's been afforded to us. But can I just tell you something? You can't be everywhere at one time, and God can. He's omni-what? Present. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And you can't have these. That's the authority that Jesus holds when he comes to the church to speak to them. So by this authority, he was able to say, listen, I know you and your light's on, but nobody's home. Okay? You got a sign in the yard that says you're a church, a living organism, but you're dead in your trespasses and your sins. There's a lot of people who are faking it. There's a lot of churches who are faking it. And Jesus says this, your light's on, nobody's home. You release a word that you're a body of Christ's followers, but you're not. There's a plant in the pot, but it's dead. I need water. The plant is crying out, I need water. The church was crying out in Sardis, we need the water of life. But somehow or another, they allowed the world to squeeze that out of them. What kind of warning comes to mind when you think of Christ's rebuke to his church? You have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. Churches today that are filled with activity. You know, I'm just wondering what, and I'm reading and availing myself to podcasts and things I had on a weekly basis because I'm trying to get a feel, trying to get my finger on the pulse of what we can expect as people who are leading the way, as people who are looking at the church and trying to help pastors like me understand what we can expect. Well, we're experiencing what they said we would, about 30% return. We're not full this morning. There's a lot of people that haven't come back yet. And respectfully, there are some that are just not comfortable coming back yet. That's okay. But if you stay away forever, that's not okay. You know, we're social distancing, but can I tell you, there are those instances where you must lay hands on the sick to see them recover. So don't be afraid to be touched. Okay? If the Holy Spirit is in it, I promise you, you'll win it, okay? You won't be struck sick because somebody laid their hands on you if the Spirit of God is in it. I'm trying to find out, you know, Lord, what are you saying about the church? And what they're saying is that there's going to be probably a 6 to 8 month window, if everything goes well, before people will really start to feel comfortable about coming back and gathering together like we used to. I mean, think about it. Will sanitizer always be an issue now? I think the answer is yes. Will mask always be an issue now? I think for some people it'll always be yes. You're not better than the one who doesn't wear a mask, or you're not worse than the one, you know, vice versa. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you more mindful. It doesn't make you sharper. You need to do what you are comfortable doing so that you feel safe and you feel secure. So we're trying to get a feeling about the church. But I must tell you, don't allow, especially those of you who are listening online, don't allow yourself to usher your own self right out of the church, because you need us and we need you. We need you. Verses 2 and 3. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've found your deeds unfinished. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. Hold fast, repent. But if you don't wake up, I'm coming like a what? Like a thief. And you'll not know at what time I'll come to you. So even though the assessment from Christ's standpoint is that the church is dead, he comes back and he says, wake up. He is the one who's able to do what? Raise the dead and give life to them. Think about the peace lily. Some things that look dead may not be dead. Some things that are dying may not die. I had a farmer tell us just this past week about a field of cabbage that he planted, and they stayed underwater for 7 to 10 days. Just because they had so much rain, the cabbage were underwater. I don't know how many acres, just acres and acres of cabbage underwater. And it looked like there were, you know, there were brown leaves rotting and everything else when the waters finally settled down. And he walked in faith and he went out there and he spoke to those cabbage. He spoke to that field of cabbage. Lord, this is my livelihood. Lord, this is my crop. This is what I'm doing because I feel like I'm led to do this. And he began to speak to those cabbage and he began to pray over them. And as fate would have it, he had to go tend to other things. So he left those cabbage for several days. And when he came back, you know what he saw? He did not see brown leaves and rotten leaves. He saw green, full heads of cabbage. Why? Because he spoke to them and he believed that which was dying could, in fact, come to life. And guess what? It did. God is able. And this church was able to come back. Strengthen what remains. What remains, there must have been a very few in there that had divine potential. But then he adds, it's about to die. It's like having a team of nine on your baseball team and you only got one guy that can really hit the ball. The rest of them are just, they're no good. They're not going to help you. He says, listen, I want you to understand this. You're near death here. You've got to come to life. He tells them that he finds their deeds are unfinished. In other words, their work, their service fell short in motive and execution, and what they were doing was not fulfilling the will of God. Verse 3 says, remember, therefore, what you received and heard. Hold fast to it. Repent. And if you don't wake up, I'm coming like a thief. Evidently from history, we don't see repentance. No waking up. No holding fast to what was about to die, because there's no evidence of the witness of that house beyond 1300. Look at verse 4. You have a few people in Sardis who haven't soiled their clothes. They'll walk with me dressed in white, for they're worthy. Notice he says that there are a few whose garments haven't been soiled. Remember what I told you that they got most of their income from? The dyeing of garments and the cloth industry, the textile industry. So he says something to them that they can relate to. Got a few folks down there who haven't soiled their clothes. Verse 5, the one who's victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I'll never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but I will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Notice that tension between the one who may not be in the church but is ready. He says, I'm ready to confess you before my Father and put a white robe on you. Then very quickly in verse 6, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen those potted plants, those beautiful plants that were fit for nothing but to be plucked up by the roots and tossed aside. They were looking dead. But we've also seen that because of our efforts to nurture, to water. I remember Pastor Joy and I several years ago did something I wish we'd never done. We went to a little place in Elizabeth City called Kenyon Bailey Supply. Very, very nice lawn and garden store. Kenyon Bailey Supply. We were walking around the nursery, and we saw some plants that were marked down like El Cheapo. 50 cent? 50 cent. What is that? That's pampas grass. What's pampas grass? We pulled out our phone, pampas grass. Siri, what's pampas grass? She showed us a picture. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful flowering sprout there at the top. Just beautiful plants. Cursed was the day we ever paid 50 cents for a dying pampas grass. Those things were about dead. I mean, they were yellow. We gave 50 cents for them. The guy said, oh, you put them in there, man. You can't kill pampas grass. We didn't hear that part, okay? Because now, you know what? We got more pampas grass than we ever bargained for 50 cents. You can't get rid of it. You know how you trim it back in the fall? You pour diesel fuel on it and set it on fire. That's how you trim it. And guess what happens? It comes right back. Twice the size it was the year before. Amen? I mean, you just can't get rid of this stuff. And you know what it was like when we bought it? 50 cents. And near death. But the good news is, you may be listening to me today, and you may feel like, you know, as a believer, that's what I feel like, 50 cent and near death. Can I tell you, he is ready to pour living life, living water in you. It's inside of you. Don't you give up. Don't you let this pandemic, this ugliness, this crazy time we're going through, don't you let it squeeze the life out of you. You strengthen the things which remain. You allow the water of life to be poured on you through worship, through music, through preaching, through fellowship, through connection. You do what you can do to bring life back to your spirit, man. Come on, somebody. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. And that's what this church needed to do. But guess what? They didn't. Please don't let it be said of you that you didn't, but that you did. That you did everything that you could. I want us just to come to the Lord in prayer just a moment as our worship team comes back and closes us out quickly here. You that are listening online, please, please hear me. This Antichrist spirit seeks with everything that is in them to squeeze the life out of you. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're in the building. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're online. If it's you, just say, just comment. That's me, Pastor. I'm praying with you. Connect with me. Call on me. I'll answer you. I'll connect with you this week. If you're here this morning and maybe you feel like you've been wavering, maybe you feel like your branches are just falling to the side, maybe you feel weak. If that's you, can I just tell you this altar is open this morning? Come on, stand with me this morning. If that's you, come on, step out of your seat. Don't just stand there and let's come to his presence today. Let's acknowledge, Lord, I need water. I need water. I just need water. Come, just come and stand in his presence around this altar. Someone will come and pray with you. Someone will come and pray with you. I need water. That's what you're saying. I need water. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is touching the lives of his people today, both here and online. Listen, just respond. Just come. Just come and stand in his presence. Someone will come and stand behind you and pray with you today. Just come as they sing, would you? Made a commitment to the Lord. That's you. Just come. Maybe you've never trusted Christ for salvation. Trust him today. Don't die without Jesus. Come on. Don't spend another day without Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you need prayer for healing in your body or something that you're facing. Come on, allow someone to pray with you today. The altars are open. Come on, if you need a physical touch, you need someone to agree with you, just come. Just come. Just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come. Someone will pray with you. Hallelujah.
Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seed.
Yes, Lord.
And you will be faithful to always send your rain. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seed. And you will be faithful to always send.
Though we were far apart, you came running with open arms. That's my prayer for you if you're listening online today. Allow the open arms of God to receive you today. Amen. I pray you have a tremendous week. I'm going to ask you to be seated, those of you who are with us here in the sanctuary. Just be seated in childlike faith for 5 more minutes. Sometimes you need to just hear something from a kid's perspective. Amen. And also you need to be able to witness what our team does behind the scenes with your children and your grandchildren. So Pastor Miranda, take it away for our kids' online message today.
I know, George. I know I'm listening to you. I hear what you're telling me. Yes, yes, yes. I've heard it all before. Let me remind you again, there's room in the tree for more than one of you, okay? George, let me call you back. Are you guys really out there? Man, am I seeing things? I think you're real. Wow, man, it is great to see someone finally. Ranger G here. Man, I've been out in the wilderness for so long and I haven't seen anyone else. Wow, I'm really glad to see you guys. What are you asking me? Why am I talking to a banana? Well, you see, you guys just don't understand. This is not like where you're from, okay? Your cell phone's not gonna work here, people. If you wanna get anything done, you've gotta learn how to survive in the wilderness. And one of the key things that you need to know, if you wanna communicate with anybody, anywhere, out here in the wilderness, then you have gotta know how to talk to monkeys. I mean, these guys are swinging around from tree to tree. They're watching everything going on. They are like the Facebook of the jungle, okay? So if you want to talk to monkeys, you don't need an iPhone. You don't need an Android. You need a banana phone. I know, it looks good. You just think you might want to eat it, but this will let you talk to the monkeys, just like I was talking to my buddy George. He's the most curious monkey I've ever met, and he knows everyone, and he knows everything that's going on. Some of you guys may have never been in the wilderness before, but let me just tell you, you are in for an epic adventure. There are things out here that you would not believe. I know what you city kids are thinking. You don't think there's anything exciting about the wilderness. You just must be bored out of your mind, Ranger G. You must be going crazy. That's why you're talking to the banana. But you know what I say? Nay, nay. This is the most exciting place you'll ever see. There are so many adventures out here in the wilderness. I mean, have you ever been stuck in between a family of baboons and their little babies? I don't think so, but guess what? I have. And let me just say, when the poop starts flying, and it's coming, that is an epic adventure. I've never had to dodge so fast in my whole life. I mean, it's like dodgeball to a whole nother level. It's epic. I'm sure that as you guys spend more time out here in the wilderness, you'll go through plenty of epic adventures too. And I'll be here all along to help guide you and take you in the right direction. It reminds me of some stories that I've read in this book. It's called the Holy Bible. This book is full of so many epic adventures. Monkeys. Yes, George. I told you I would call you back, George. I'm talking to some new friends. What? Oh, you're making pizza? Oh, for everyone? With the termites and the ants? Oh, yes, I will be there. Thanks, George. Guys, let's head back to camp. Man, don't forget your toothpick. Those termites, they can get stuck right here in your teeth. Man, let's go back to camp. We can have some pizza and we can hear about an epic adventure straight from the Bible. Come on, guys. Camp. Camp is this way.
Are you ready for an adventure? This month, we will follow the epic stories of the Old Testament in the Bible. Stories of God's people in the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 years. For 40 years, just imagine, they walked around with all of their things, with no home to go to, as they looked for the land that God had promised them. If you had to wander for a very long time, let's say 40 years, what would you bring with you? The people of God missed having a lot of things, but what they missed the most was the feeling that God was with them. But today, we are learning about how I can spend time with God anywhere. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, they sometimes forgot that God was with them. So God gave a man named Moses some special instructions. God gave Moses instructions to have the people gather fine materials to build God a home that would travel with them. Of course, God was with them everywhere they went anyway, but this special home would help God's people remember that He was with them. This special home was called a tent of meeting or a tabernacle, and in Exodus chapter 35, you can find detailed instructions that God gave Moses for how to build it. God's people built the tabernacle, or special home for God, exactly as they were told, and they put it up every time they stopped on their journey in the wilderness to remind them that God traveled with them. Where is a place that we worship God? We worship God at church. Let's pretend like this is church, and this is us. And when we go to church, we know that God will be there. God definitely meets us at church. But do we need a special place to spend time with God? Let's take a look and see. God is at church, but God is everywhere. God will meet us anywhere, and we can spend time with God anywhere. We can spend time with God at home. We can spend time with God in the car or outside or at our grandparents' house or a friend's house. We can spend time with God anywhere. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God and He will come near to you." What does this verse tell us about worship? Do we always need to be in a special place to spend time with God? The Israelites needed a special reminder that God was with them everywhere they traveled. But you and I can know that God is always with us. He is everywhere. And because of that, we can spend time with Him anywhere we go. How important is it for us to spend time with God? It is important for us to pray, to read our Bible, to listen to God every day. And we can do that not just at church, but anywhere we are. Let's take a minute and pray and ask God to help us remember to spend time with Him anywhere we are. God, we love you. We thank you that you're everywhere with us, that we can never get too far away from you. I pray that you would help us to remember every day to take time to spend time with you, to pray, to read your word, and that we can do that wherever we are. We thank you for the reminder, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. Let me remind you that right after our services on Sunday, our kids' service streams live right on the same sources there, Carpenter Shop International Church Facebook page, and also CSIC Media Channel on YouTube. So thank you guys for participating in that, leading those things to your grandkids, to your kids. And also, would you just give a great round of applause and appreciation for Pastor Gary Moran and what they do to the kids' ministry. Amen. Praise God. Thank you guys for being with us today. God bless you. Go about your way. Be safe. Be safe. And have a good Sunday afternoon.